This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's up, folks? Welcome in. It is Sharp Money. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Patrick Maher one more time. I'm Amal Shaw. Dustin Sweetelson are here as well. And it is Monday of week one in the National Football League. The first full Sunday in the books. I got a little headache. Maybe I was out a little bit and having some fun yesterday. But hey, that's what you're supposed to do on an NFL Sunday. What's up, boys? What'd you guys do yesterday?
Actually, I saw Dustin. We were down here at Circa watching the games.
Hold on. Pause. I've done a lot of stuff for you guys over the last week. I was here at the D and yet received not a single, nary a text and or call.
Well, first of all, in my defense, I wasn't planning on staying that long. A friend of mine was in town, so he wanted to go see what Circa was like. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not a big fan of being in environments where you're cheering for one side and people are cheering for the other side.
It's the worst.
It really is. And so I had no idea you were down here. But by the way, the question would then be asked, why would you not text us that you're at the D? We could have made the walk over.
Because we didn't plan to see each other.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Easy rebuttal. First off, saw an Instagram story of somebody sitting at home by himself
that
watching all
him.
Of his TVs. So I figured he was not anywhere to be seen.
That's fair.
And as you just noted, you don't like to be in public. You had mentioned that to me before. So I figured you wouldn't be down here.
Well, I want to correct one thing. It's not that I don't like to be in public. I just, if you bet on
those,
a game.
In those situations.
Yes, I have very specific.
See? So there you go. Rebuttal. Back to you.
Me? I was busy trying to become famous because I was approached Friday night at Circa about being a part of a sports betting documentary. And I can tell you this, based on the content I gave them on Sunday, I don't think I will be in said sports betting documentary.
They didn't follow up, huh? They didn't want you back?
No, they acted like they did. I can tell you this, though. I got my teeth kicked in all weekend, so wasn't a great representation of someone who likes to bet on sports.
Hey, they could have mic'd up the laptop, right? Because the model had a good day. We'll get to that a little bit later. What's up?
I don't know why you're bearing the lead, first of all. Can we just talk about my man JVT here, 4-0 with this model? Can we be a little bit boastful? I know you guys all try and act like you guys are Captain Humility and all that. You don't think I'm going to be taking a victory lap on the Texas Shorthorns tonight?
No, I get it.
JVT 4-0 here, rocking and rolling. Let's start selling some picks.
I think what's so endearing about the Jonathan Von model, follow the journey, VSiN.com, become a pro subscriber today. You can check out all the articles. What's so endearing about this to me is you went into it going, I don't know anything about this.
Sure.
So I don't know how it's going to be. You weren't couching it, but you were like, I don't know what this is going to be. I'm not a numbers guy in this regard and putting together Excel spreadsheets. You're very transparent that you had to watch YouTube videos on how to do it. And the fact that the first week you punch it all in, and by the way, the hardest week to have good data and it's successful is wild.
Oh, I thought it was cool. It makes the whole journey worth it because I do think it's going to get its teeth kicked in as it goes along. But I will say it was fun to watch it. And the best part, biggest edge of the day, Green Bay Packers, no sweat.
Well, you know, it's funny. I wanted to go to a few games. You mentioned the Packers. You and I talked about this team winning the division.
Sure.
And real quick, there was an article in Yahoo this morning. I don't know if you guys had a chance to take a look at it. They were criticizing Justin Fields. I don't know what game they were watching. I don't think the problem was Justin Fields. It's the fact that the Bears can't stop a nosebleed on defense.
Yes.
I don't know where you guys come out. By the way, I got to go to one thing. And I know, Dustin, you're on board with me. And I saw JVT's notes. Desmond Ritter. Two words, baby.
Oh,
pizza delivery. This guy is terrible.
We got to save that for like, loathe, and love, though.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
I cannot wait.
I got about 20 minutes of ripping this guy.
Oh, trust me. But I would agree. I rewatched, actually. That was the part of the morning window. So last night and this morning, I was rewatching some of the games. And that was the one I watched last night. And I was watching that like,
At one point, Desmond Ritter was 4-for-4 for 0 yards.
And a touchdown. Don't forget. And a touchdown. That
zero
was
yards.
He sent me a text message. He goes, 4-for-4 for 0 yards. He's like, how bad can this guy be?
Well, so I wanted to open up with, we did have an eventful day yesterday. We had 6 favorites lose outright on Sunday. Those favorites, of course, Cincinnati, Minnesota, Chicago, depending on where you shopped. I saw a close of -1. I think you saw picks.
I got pick them on the Bears in the end, which, boy, really love that CLV.
Yes. Yeah, good. Hey, man. More often than not, I'll help you out. Denver, Los Angeles, the Chargers, that is, and the Seattle Seahawks. But I wanted to focus on one of these favorites really quickly because I do think it's part of the bigger story, because when you're a Super Bowl favorite and if you go down, that is going to be something that's pretty intriguing, which, by the way, we had multiple Super Bowl favorites go down this week so far. Yep. We saw Kansas City on the opening night, and of course we saw, what I'm referring to, Cincinnati Bengals go to Cleveland yesterday and take one on the chin. Browns 24, Bengals 3. A lot of people, Amal, are going to focus on Joe Burrow, and I saw a lot of this. First game after becoming the highest paid player in the NFL, 14-31, 82 yards. He had time off, right? Calf injury, had a late start as he got ramped up for the regular season. Do we make this about Joe Burrow and the Bengals, or do we make it about what I think we should make it about? Jim Schwartz was a good defensive coordinator signing for the Cleveland Browns, and that defense looks like it might be legitimately good.
A couple of areas I would go from there. First of all, you mentioned Jim Schwartz. This is a guy who's got an economics degree from Georgetown. You talked about this. Patrick, and we talked about this before, when he was the head coach in Detroit. This is a good defensive-minded guy, maybe not necessarily a head coach. JVT, we've seen it throughout the years. You look at Norv Turner, Ray Rhodes, guys who are good at being coordinators, not necessarily the CEO. The other thing you mentioned, Burrow and company, I don't know if it's necessarily Joe Burrow. There's two factors for me. Is he completely healthy? But I'm not going to sit there and put the loss on that as an excuse. But more importantly, Zach Taylor seems to get off to slow starts. It's like the Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander effect. These guys are not great in the first inning. If you don't get to them, you could be in trouble after that. And if you don't get to the Bengals early on, they seem to kind of reach their cruising altitude as we get into the season, as opposed to from the start. One other thing I'd like to add in the Browns' victory, though, Deshaun Watson underthrew about two touchdown passes and threw another bounce pass. I didn't know if he was trying to compete with Desmond Ridder this weekend or what, but I was not overly impressed with him. His legs were effective, gets that rushing touchdown. You talked about it, JVT. This Browns team with Schwartz, they're going to be dangerous. They're going to be tough. And what I saw the opening weekend, listen, I'm not trying to overreact. I'm just saying based on what we saw yesterday, right now, this is the best team in the division.
Yeah, and I would say this, to your point about Deshaun Watson, and I think this also ties into Joe Burrow, we should not forget that it was raining quite hard in that game yesterday. And I thought some of what Deshaun Watson, right, you mentioned some of the underthrown passes. I thought some of that was a symptom of maybe not getting a good grip on the ball. We saw in the second half, Joe Burrow actually came out with a single glove on his throwing hand, so maybe trying to get better grip on that. I thought the weather did play a factor into it for both quarterbacks. So we'll see with Watson. The athleticism was kind of there, but we'll see for both of them. But I wanted to point something out when it came to Burrow and his struggles. So building on Schwartz, did you see Myles Garrett playing linebacker yesterday?
Yeah.
Dude, he's sitting there. He's standing up. He's lining up in the middle. Defensive end Myles Garrett, four snaps rushing from inside linebacker. The results were sack, incomplete, incomplete, incomplete. He had only 21 inside linebacker snaps in his previous six seasons. Dude, if this is part of it, and I bet Myles Garrett before the season began to win Defensive Player of the Year, and if they're going to start using him like this, look out, because they got new pass rushers. They're using him in all sorts of different ways. That was impressive yesterday.
Well, and Jim Schwartz is a super aggressive guy, and the thing I like about that is, like, you're getting ahead of the offenses, right? So many times we talk about these defensive coordinators and them reacting to what they see. He's deciding, I'm taking my biggest piece, and I'm going to make you concerned every single time on offense when he's not lined up where you think he's going to be.
Look, I love your bet on Myles Garrett for Defensive Player of the Year, but he's going to finish runner-up. The award is already, the etching has already started. T.J. Watt had three sacks and two forced fumbles.
He was absurd yesterday.
Unbelievable.
Let's look past the counting stats, all right? Myles Garrett was tremendous, and I think we'll get to it.
Loves it. This dude loves analytics so much.
It's not even analytics. You got to watch the game. He was all over the place.
So was Watt.
Nah.
T.J. Watt was a menace to San Francisco.
Hold on. I'm going to get some numbers.
T.J. Watt was crazy yesterday.
Let me tell you.
Also, Micah Parr, like, Dallas's defense was awesome yesterday. There was a lot of impressive performances.
Oh, God, I'll tell you what, man. That game got off to a little bit of a rough start. I thought Dallas was in trouble. They blocked the kick. And what's the last time you see a block that badly? Go ahead with your Myles Garrett stats.
No, it doesn't matter.
T.J. Watt's ranked higher?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Well, for your point about the Cowboys-Giants game, I had a bet, Cowboys first half minus 1.5. I loved it. Through history, I looked back. Cowboys, when they play the Giants, have had a lead like 7 out of like the last 9 times they've matched up at the half. So I have that bet, but I'm watching the Giants, and I go, you know what? They drove all the way downfield their opening drive, and we're about to score. A couple fluky things happen. False start. Blocked kick return for a touchdown. We rarely ever see that. Then there's the pick six that allows another touchdown to score. I'm like, you know what? The Giants were moving the ball. Give the offense a chance here. I'm going to take the Giants plus 10.5. Boy, that second bet, not have a hope and a prayer.
Don't turn around. That game's right behind you. You know what? Actually, I like Sunday night games like that, though, because I get to turn them off.
Turn
quick.
It off.
And I get to go about my day.
Their truer words have never been spoken.
Do you feel hungover today? Like the overstimulation?
Oh, I felt hungover when I was driving home, right, for the Sunday night game.
This is like the first time you didn't have like multiple screens in front of you?
Yeah, and like I'm sitting there and I'm driving on my home and I'm like, and part of me thought, I hate to admit, it was like, I got one more of these I got to watch right now.
You know what I thought leaving Cirque yesterday? I was like, I didn't have a single drop of alcohol yesterday. If I got pulled over right now, I don't know if I could pass a field sobriety test.
I was the happiest person when Cowboys got that pick six to go up 16-0.
Me too. I was like,
this thing's over. We're not even going to be talking about the second half of this game. Nobody's going to be watching. I did say to a friend of mine, I said, a couple of bets might be in peril here, and it ended up coming up under. The total was 44.5, I think 45.5, somewhere in that range, stays under. And then Pollard was 71 or 72 rush yards, winds up with 14 carries for 70 yards, and then you knew they were going to sit these guys in the second half, and I tell you what, it's a bad start for Daboll and company.
You want an overreaction from that game? Two of them. I'm going to say it right now. Look at the camera. I was dead right. The Cowboys are freaking good.
Oh, they're good.
And there was value in them to win at plus 190 to win that division. And the Giants, regression candidate numero uno, Daniel Jones looked abysmal.
How about this? The Giants haven't had a good offensive line since Obama's first term.
It's a good point.
Said 08. Wow. To 12. Wow.
Thanks, Obama.
When you look at Daniel Jones, there was the throw to Paris Campbell in the right flat where he threw it completely behind him. If he hits Campbell in stride, it's probably a touchdown with Campbell's speed. I couldn't believe how bad this guy's. Look, I've been saying this all along. I told you. I said, Daniel Jones, you don't sign guys to long-term deals if you don't believe in them.
I would argue really quick on the deal. It is one that they can get out of quickly. Like, they did it because you had to. You don't have any better option.
What was the better option?
Yeah. To franchise tag him.
But then you lose Saquon, and then you lose, like, the real power of
offense. That's
what
the strength of it was. It was kind of like the Clippers trade for Paul George. It wasn't for Paul George. It was also for Kawhi Leonard. Same thing here. You sign him so then you can keep Saquon Barkley.
All I know is, man, Tua can ball if you got a receiver like Tyreek Hill.
Speaking of now the co-favorite to win MVP, Tua Tagovailoa, we'll talk about him in what we like to call like, loathe, and love when we return here on Sharp Money. Make this football season your best ever by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get full access to everything we do. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, and betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. If you sign up for a VSiN annual subscription, you'll also get a free copy of Michael Lombardi's new book, Football Done Right. Just use promo code Lombardi when you sign up. And if you'd like an autographed copy of Michael's book, just email us. Subscribe at VSiN.com. This is a limited time offer, so sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's why they had me signing Michael's name on all those things earlier today. Oh, was I supposed to say that? No. Those are all legitimate. Do you think that they, like during NBA season, do you think Bill AD would give away free copies of my sexy, steamy rom-com book that I've been writing behind the scenes?
I was going to say, there should be a good book coming on Jonathan Von Model.
Yeah. I was going to call my... No, never mind. I was going to have a very risque name for my book, but I don't want to get in trouble.
Tell me, I'll say it. They're used to me saying that.
It's actually not bad. It's called Too Deep.
That is 100%. Did you get it from him?
Like a depth chart. It's sports.
And then the sequel plus one in the stink?
No. That's a little too... That's too much. Also too much. Some of what we watched yesterday. So how do we want to do this? Like, loathe, love. Who do you want to go first? How would you like to set this up?
It's a great question. Let's just roll the first graphic and whoever's name is first, that's what we'll go with. I believe it's Amal or you.
Okay, yeah,
it's
Amal. There we go. Wow, I look so happy in that picture.
I tell you what.
Like, love, loathe. That's the name of the segment. We go through the weekend, and Amal's going to kick things off with his first like.
Nobody has been more anti-Jimmy Garoppolo than me. I've always thought he was an overrated player. I thought he was just another guy. But he impressed me yesterday against the Broncos. That defense is pretty good. If you're Denver, you're looking for your defense to take out Russell Wilson if you can. But the reality of it is Garoppolo kept this team there, made some great throws. They were effective. I thought he did a really, really nice job. I think the Raiders would be more competitive in a lot of the situations against bottom-tier teams. When they reach the upper echelon teams, I think we might see some struggles. But I like Jimmy Garoppolo. Very impressed with what he did in McDaniel's system yesterday.
It was a weird game yesterday. It looked like it was going to be like back and forth, high flying, scoring fair, and it was not actually. Ended up dying after that. All right, do I go next? So I got my like here? Okay, cool. Well, for me, you know what I liked from yesterday? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's hard not to like the Buccaneers after what you watched. And we talked about this a little bit last week, where it was, I thought the Bucs were a team that early on was maybe worth kind of looking to back. Same with the Rams, only that they still have some skill position and defensive position talent. And you really saw that. They harassed Kirk Cousins all day, put themselves in a position to pull an upset as an underdog yesterday. And I really kind of liked that. When you're a team that people think are going to be in the running for the worst record in the National Football League, and the good pieces that you have showed out and got you a win and ultimately a cover, obviously, because you wanted as an underdog, I like that. So Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I like it.
Look, as someone who did not use the Vikings in Survivor, and one of my partners, Mike Somich, was trying to convince us to do it on Friday, I love this. Also, Baker Mayfield, I don't know why. I like rooting for Baker. I know he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but I love the redemption story for him. And look, let's have a conversation about Baker Mayfield. If he's on one of the other NFC South teams, if he's on Atlanta right now, can they win the division?
Oh, absolutely.
He's a massive upgrade over Desmond Ridder. I think we're so quick to like push these guys aside because they have a few bad years in the NFL. Baker Mayfield's still a talented guy, has a chip on his shoulder. I loved what I saw of the Bucs. That's a great call by you.
There's also a chip in the stone wall that he got tackled into by those cops out in Oklahoma as well. Got hit pretty hard.
It was a long time ago.
That's true.
It was a long time ago.
Can take
a hit. Time for my like. My first like is, I don't remember. Oh, healthy Tua. Healthy Tua is a lot of fun to watch, guys. Slinging the ball around, super efficient, extremely accurate, high scoring game, and he's going shot for shot with Herbert. I loved seeing a healthy Tua, and I know you're going to say, Tyreek Hill makes it a lot easier for everyone. Someone's still got to get him the ball to make plays. And he has such a great touch in finding them in open field to make plays, and they do the work for him. I love watching a healthy Tua.
Tell you what, he was tremendous. You know, the reason why I mentioned Hill, though, you see the deficiency with the receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday night. You see what Tyreek Hill does for this offense with the Miami Dolphins and how he improves Tua. Look, the one thing about Tua that can't be denied is his talent. When he was at Alabama, JVT, he was a very effective quarterback. I think the injuries kind of changed how we viewed him.
Dude, I won't disagree. He looked awesome yesterday. That last touchdown pass to the right side of the end zone puts it exactly where it needs to be. He was great. Averaged up the target yesterday was 12 and a half yards downfield. So he wasn't just sitting there and dinking and dunking. He was taking some shots.
466 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, getting everyone involved. I mean, Tyreek Hill has 215 receiving yards. Stupid. And he's becoming a shorter number for offensive player of the year.
And Tua, co-favorite to an MVP now as well.
That's crazy.
Yep.
I love him, but that's a little bit crazy.
One performance will do that to you. It's a good point. I'm starting to track all of the MVP and award stuff every single day. And, it was pretty nuts watching that happen and watching him rise. All right, Amal, what do you love from the weekend?
I tell you what, for me, the biggest thing, my biggest takeaway in terms of what I love would be, if I could remember what it was, but it would be the 49ers even more. I mean, this team was so great in terms of what they did overall. They came out early on, established themselves. But, guys, I think there were some question marks about Brock Purdy. I don't know how much of the game you saw, JVT. He put some absolute dimes out there. They were fantastic. This team is uber talented. And, look, it's week one. Let's see what happens with Philadelphia. And Jalen Hurts took a monster shot yesterday. But it looks like at this point in time, again, it's only 1 week. You know, we're overreacting. That's the natural tendency to do. San Francisco and Dallas look like they might be heading on a 90s collision course.
My only argument would be, yesterday he did get away with committing 2 turnover-worthy plays without those actually committing to turnovers. So those are that's kind of been the argument against him, is that the turnover-worthy plays from a season ago he did not pay for, and eventually that's going to come back to bite you. But outside of that, the team itself looked tremendous. And I haven't watched this game in full yet. I'm going to do this later tonight. I do wonder how much of that was 49ers or maybe Pittsburgh, because that was
Pittsburgh
really disappointing.
Stink.
They were terrible.
Yeah, Pittsburgh might stink. But I would say this, coming off the injury with Brock Purdy, I was really concerned. Also, it was a big talking point for me in the summer. Like, what does he look like after all these defensive coordinators spent a whole offseason seeing what his tendencies were, seeing what he does best, trying to take away whatever it is he does best every week? And I got to tell you, that guy looked so comfortable in that system. He looked so relaxed, understood every aspect of it. And he's so freaking athletic, man. Makes a ton of plays, keeps plays alive. I was really impressed with Brock Purdy, and that defense is crazy. Fred Warner is a monster.
Yep.
He's an absolute monster. He is everywhere on the field.
What are you, new?
No, see, Amal, the thing we do on this show is we watch what happens and we make statements. And we don't have to necessarily say that we're saying something for the first time, but there's a new audience that tunes in every now and then. So I'm making a statement that Fred Warner had a good game and he's a monster and he's everywhere. I'm not acting like it's the first time I watched Fred Warner play football.
He's been saving that one for a while. But
that was continue. Loaded up. That had something. That had something behind it. All right. What I love, I mentioned it. Myles Garrett. He was absolutely tremendous. PFF gave him a 90.3 pass rush grade. He had 6 total pressures, a pass rush win weight of 23.1%. They're starting to use him in interior linebacker just to blitz guys. I don't know if you guys saw the clip of right before a snap, he's lined up over the center for Cincinnati, and he's pretended to do crossovers, and he immediately hits the dude with the Euro step and just goes right by him. Myles Garrett was freaking awesome yesterday, and it's part of a bigger picture for Cleveland. I thought they had a chance to be a really good defensive team, and Amal, you pointed this out last week, and it really hits home when now you have a dominant pass rush. Their secondary is so freaking good. Grant Delpit, Denzel Ward, so many other guys. Like, that's going to be a defense, I think, to be reckoned with, and all of it started, I thought, yesterday with Myles Garrett. Loved it.
I don't think anybody's going to hold the Bengals to 3 points the rest of the year. Now, you did say the weather played a factor, but the Browns played in that weather as well. But they got one thing that the Bengals don't have, Nick Chubb.
Yes. Yes, indeed. You know, I also like a running back that doesn't wear gloves in the rain. It's such a tough look.
It just makes sense to me, though, to not wear gloves in the rain. Yeah. I know a lot of these gloves are super sticky, but I think they lose some of that once they get some moisture on them.
That's right. Speaking of some moisture on him, you've got some on you. What do you
like? I was moist watching this guy run routes yesterday. That was Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's back in the NFL, guys, and he does something for that Jacksonville offense that takes them to another level from where they were a year ago. He runs crispy routes. He is such a playmaker with the ball in his hands. He makes everyone else a little bit better because you have to focus on him. He's going to open things up for Zay Jones a little bit more, open things up for Christian Kirk eventually down the road. I thought he became such an important, vital weapon for this team if they're going to take the next step, which is be a powerhouse in the playoffs. Like, they need to win playoff games. I'll tell you what, Calvin Ridley is a go-to target for them in the playoffs.
Trevor Lawrence is going to be an absolute monster with Ridley on the perimeter.
Yep. I would not disagree at all. And I will say, too, one of the things that I had pointed out, and we'll save our loathes for on the other side because we're going to need some time. Negativity takes time to express. You want another overreaction? One of the things that I pointed out in the offseason, we talked about a couple of times, I don't know if I brought it up to you. Dark horse for one seed in the AFC was Jacksonville because their schedule was so freaking easy. Do I think they're the best team in the AFC? No. But do I think they have the ability to take advantage of a schedule to get the best record in the AFC? Absolutely. And yesterday, with that comeback, it kind of showed. That's out of a fluky play for the Colts and that touchdown. That team's going to be legit, man.
I remember you said that in the summertime, and I don't think that's that much of a stretch. When you look at the AFC West, you look at the AFC North and the AFC East. Jacksonville's getting Tennessee, Houston, and, of course, Indianapolis. They can go 6-0 in their division, while the rest of these teams absolutely just have a gauntlet to run.
Yep. I mean, look at the schedule. Yeah, yes, you get the Chiefs after this, but Texans, Falcons, Bills in London, Colts at the Saints, Steelers before the bye? Ooh, buddy, I'm telling you. And that Steelers game all of a sudden looks a little bit easier, at least after 1 week. All right, we'll come back. We'll have our loathes, and I will tell you, I think my loathe is the best because I think everybody at the table agrees. We'll tell you who it is and why when we come back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The NFL season underway. You can get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHARP to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL bet. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code SHARP, the crown is yours. Monday Night Football quickly approaches. Aaron Rodgers already out at the stadium, getting ready to go. Antoine Staley is with us here, NFL Jets reporter, columnist for the New York Daily News. Nice enough to give us some time, give us the Jets perspective on things. Antoine, thank you very much. So let's just start. The vibes, the energy, obviously the debut of Aaron Rodgers, excitement that football is back, and then the somber remembrance of what today is. What's the energy like out there in New York?
I think people are excited. You know, some optimism surrounding the Jets. Of course, when you get a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's been a four-time MVP, former Super Bowl MVP, and winner. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, the Jets fans are, you know, believe that they finally have an opportunity to not only make the playoffs and end their 12-year drought, but also contend for a Super Bowl as well.
Antoine, last year the Jets gave up less than 190 yards passing per game, third best in the National Football League. How good can this pass defense be? And they'll be challenged early on tonight here by this Buffalo offense.
Well, I think you have a chance to be top five offense. I mean, top five defense once again. If you look at their defensive line, I think they're as deep as anybody, you know, in the NFL. Maybe besides the Eagles, 49ers there. They have a variety of pass rushes led by Quentin Williams, who ended up having 12 sacks a year ago. And I think that also helped, you know, the secondary. Obviously, everybody knows about Sauce Gardner and what he was able to do last year, too. But they also have two other good corners in DJ Reed and also Michael Carter II, who I think is very underrated as a slot corner. So I definitely think they've also shored up their secondary by starting Tony Adams over LaMarcus Joyner, who was a bit of a liability last year. So, yeah, I think the pass defense can be, you know, just as good, if not even better, this upcoming year.
When you look at this team and what they want to do from getting after Josh Allen, what do you expect the game plan to be? Will they go after him with an extra pass rusher? Will they be comfortable rushing four? Because one of the things we saw pop up last year was that Josh Allen was facing teams and they weren't really blitzing anymore. They were just rushing four and dropping everybody back.
Yeah, Robert Saleh and Jeff Albert, the defensive coordinator, they like to just rush four, basically, and just drop seven. So, yeah, they're not going to blitz unless it's like a possibly they need to, you know, feel like they need to on certain downs. But, yeah, they feel comfortable that they can get to the quarterback with, you know, just four. And they were able to do that last year. They sacked Josh Allen a total of eight times between the two matchups there. And Josh had a really tough time against the Jets defense in both games, even though they split the meetings last year. So, yeah, I imagine the game plan will be the same, too. Just feel like they're going to be able to rush four and, you know, be able to meet the players at the quarterback.
Antoine, let's talk about this Jets offensive line for a second here. Mekhi Becton feels like he's missed just absolutely every time the last couple seasons. And then Dwayne Brown, what is he, 38, 39 years old at this point, both of them playing tackle. How good and how effective can this line be for an injured Breece Hall? Davin Cook, I know Minnesota didn't think enough to re-sign him. And then, of course, a new quarterback in Rodgers.
Well, I think, you know, I think they'll be better than what they were last year. They ended up having started 11 different offensive linemen, which led the NFL in that category. They just had a ton of injuries, you know, including Brown. He ended up missing five games there, four of them, you know, to start the year last year. I think, you know, when he played, he was really good. And basically, he played last year, the 12 games on one shoulder because he played with a torn rotator cuff the entire year. Ended up getting surgery on that the offseason. Feels like, you know, it's kind of a brand new shoulder for him, and he only gave up one sack a year ago. But yeah, it's fair to question that, especially with his age. You typically don't see offensive linemen play to their 38 years old, which he is now. And Becton, yeah, he hasn't played in 2 years, basically. He hasn't played a regular season game since, you know, suffering that first knee injury against Carolina 2 years ago. So yeah, I think they're going to be better than what they were a year ago, but, you know, I think the jury's still out about how good they can be. And if they are effective, you know, I definitely think that could be a significant boost to their running game, which I think they're going to rely heavily on tonight.
So with Aaron Rodgers now under center, just overall, how different does this offense look? Are we talking more of a skew toward passing? Are we talking shots downfield? What are some of the changes in the offense we're going to see out there now that Aaron Rodgers is in control?
I don't know if you're going to see necessarily any changes in the personnel. I think, you know, really going to run like 12 personnel, two tight end sets a lot, kind of what they did a year ago. Also, I mean, you got Mecole Hardman. I think, you know, he's a bit of a nets factor in that offense too as well. I think against the Bills, I think they're going to really stress the running game a little bit more, especially when you go out and get a guy like Dalvin Cook. Because as we saw with the Bills, you know, in their losses last year, they had an inability to stop the run, and it showed. They definitely got smacked in the mouth against the Bengals in the divisional game. So I don't know if you'll see as many, you know, deep passes as some people might predict, especially when you go out and get a guy like an Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, I definitely think, you know, you'll see some of the same concepts that they used a year ago. But yeah, you might see more deep ball shots, you know, especially in a game like this.
Antoine, when you look at the Miami Dolphins, what they did yesterday, the offense looked electric. Can this Jets offense not necessarily be as good as that one, but how much of an upgrade can fans and people expect compared to what they saw last year with Zach Wilson, where it seemed like they were punting on every fourth play offensively?
Well, I mean, I also covered the Dolphins back in the day, too, so I'm definitely familiar with them and what they were able to do against the Chargers yesterday. And Tyreek Hill, oh, God, like, he's like the X factor. It's like the secret weapon in NFL right now. I don't know if the Jets will be as good as that, especially considering they have two. I think they have two number one guys in Waddle and also Tyreek Hill. And obviously Tua just had a superb game. And I don't think they need to be. I don't think they need to have a crazy good offense like the Dolphins do, especially with how good their defense is. But, you know, I think Garrett Wilson is primed to have a much better year than he did even last year, winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year. You know, upgrade the wide receiver core, you know, getting Hardman, also Alan Lazard, somebody Aaron Rodgers is familiar with. And I definitely think, you know, I think this can be possibly a top 10 offense this upcoming year, wow, especially what they're able to do on the ground game and also through the air.
Antoine Staley with us. So you mentioned Garrett. So how is this connection between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers? Because he is a very popular bet to win Offensive Player of the Year this year.
Yeah, I think Garrett is going to end in line for a really big year. He ended up having over 80 catches with Zach Wilson, Mike White, and Joe Flacco as just two free quarterbacks last year. Now you get a guy that, you know, a former MVP in this league, still playing at a very high level. I expect Garrett Wilson to probably have about 110 catches this year. I don't know if he'll have over 150 targets, but I definitely think he's going to prime to have triple-digit catches this year for sure.
Antoine, not taking health into consideration because you never know when players are going to go down or what the extent may be, how do you see this team finishing in this division?
I think they're gonna win the division. I do, because I think with their defense, and now you get a guy like Aaron Rodgers. They were contending for a playoff spot last year up until the very end with like NFL quarterback play. Now you add a guy who's, like I say, as accomplished as Aaron Rodgers, still, like I say, he might have had a bit of a down year last year, but that down season would have been good enough to get the Jets to the playoffs, I believe, last year. So you add him with the weapons they have offensively and defensively. Yeah, I think they're probably about a 3 seed in the AFC. I don't think they're going to get to the Super Bowl. I think Cincinnati, despite, you know, their bad loss yesterday, still, for me, I'm going to pick them to get to Las Vegas in January. But, yeah, I definitely think the Jets have an opportunity in the AFC to surprise some people.
Antoine Staley, New York Daily News. All right, we'll get you out of here on this then. What do you expect to happen tonight?
I think it's going to be a slugfest. I think both of these teams play each other well, know each other very well, similar styles. They both very physical. Defense is there. I think the Jets win probably by field goal 20-17, and it's going to be a close game throughout.
Antoine, we appreciate some time. You can follow Antoine on Twitter at Antoine Staley. Find the work at the New York Daily News. Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you all. Take care.
Yeah, you got it. I wanted to make note of this before we got out of here, too. The market in terms of where we're at for this game. The last couple of days of all, we saw kind of a push toward Buffalo, right, up to 2.5. Totals down to 44.5 after opening up 47.5. There are a couple of 1.5s out there and a few 2s popping up in faraway places. Would assume that maybe by the time we get to kickoff, who would you deem a public side here? I feel like it's Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, right?
You would think so, but I still think Buffalo carries a lot of cachet based on what Josh Allen and company have done the last couple of seasons. Rodgers wasn't particularly Aaron Rodgers-like last year in Green Bay. I'll tell you what, though. For me, JVT, this is a one-sided bet. I love the Jets in this spot. I think they're going to win this game. I just think they're a more complete football team. It felt like that loss to Cincinnati exposed Buffalo a little bit. And even though everyone had high hopes for them in the last couple of years, for some reason, I just don't feel like they're going to get back near that top of the mountain.
Well, I'll tell you this. John Von Model's going for 5-0 with the Buffalo Bills. Ooh. And I was texting with Mitch, and when we put the card in, it's the play that I hated the most. So it felt like it was one of the bigger edges, and it just felt like it wasn't reading the game right. So hopefully, I mean, maybe we'll see. Maybe the Bills will come out and roll them, but at the very least, rooting for JVM to have a perfect weekend in the National Football League. What do you got? You're nodding away.
I've been leaning Buffalo because I want to buy the post-hype on them, and I have a theory that the Jets could get off to a slow start, but I also have this funny feeling if I definitively say that, I'll be on the air tomorrow saying, yeah, I was wrong. Aaron Rodgers came out firing on all cylinders, so I'm a little torn on this one.
We'll get the Bills' perspective in the third hour from Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, Bills beat reporter. Don't go anywhere. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Third hour of Sharp Money here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel. Amal Shaw is here. Dustin Swiddleson in a somewhat similar shirt is across the way as well, although mine's not a polo. His is. Looking sharp, though. It's a good color.
Polo brand, not a polo shirt.
Right, yes. Why not? Yes, make that very important designation. All right, Matt Perino is with us, Bills beat reporter, Syracuse.com. You can also check out the Shout podcast as well. Nice enough to give us some time, give us the Buffalo perspective as we just got the Jets perspective. So, Matt, I will start with a somewhat general question. There does seem to be some thought that the window is not closed for the Bills because they're still a very good team, but that it has tightened over the offseason, maybe with the additions in the AFC, maybe with some worsening of this Bills roster. What do you make of that concept that the window is shrinking here for Buffalo and this year might be a last gasp effort?
I would definitely agree with the AFC part of things. I'd probably push back a little bit on the Bills roster only because I think it's better than it was a year ago. I mean, they went out and they filled some really important holes. Go back and watch all of last season at left guard. Roger Saffold was, according to the advanced metrics, one of the worst interior offensive linemen in the league. They went out and they signed Connor McGovern over from Dallas, who, you know, he's a run-of-the-mill kind of guy, but he's really good when it comes to pass protection, and that's what they need for Josh Allen. And they're going to be tested on the interior today. Rookie Osiris Torrance, they took him in the second round. He's going to start at right guard. And, you know, they're going against Quinnen Williams, who's arguably the best interior defensive lineman in the league. So we're going to get some answers here right out from the jump. But listen, there's a lot of pressure to go around in this game. There's obvious pressure on the Jets, but you know, I think there is on the Bills to kind of announce that they're still a contender. They're still, you know, this is still their division, and they struggled against the Jets in two games last year. They won one, they dropped one, and this is a much better Jets team now.
Matt, when you look at this team, how effective will they be against the run this year?
I think they have the potential to be a little bit better. They went out under the radar addition, Puna Ford, coming over from Seattle. He plays that space-eating, gap-filling, one-technique defensive tackle role, and he's fifth in their rotation right now. But he's somebody that I think that if he plays well, can start to ascend a little bit. And you know, obviously lost Tremaine Edmonds to Chicago. I think that hurts. But they're really deep on their defensive line. I think Leonard Floyd coming over from the Rams really helps give them another guy that not only can rush the passer but can set the edge and is pretty strong against the run. Their bugaboo over the last couple of years, even when they've struggled against the run a few times, like we all remember that New England Patriots Monday Night Football game where Mac Jones only threw it three times and they had that one big run from Damian Harris. Well, they went out and they signed Damian Harris, partly because of that. But also, you know, this is a team that's struggling in the playoffs against really elite passing games. So that's, to me, where I think they want to be better. Tre'Davious White, coming off that ACL in 2021, never really was the same version of the player last year. They're hoping that he kind of bounces back to that. And they have really good secondary, really good tackling players, which I think helps against the run.
Matt Perino with us. I want to update our audience really quickly. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but just breaking, the holdout is over. Chris Jones has signed, it seems, a one-year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later. All right, so let's talk about Josh Allen then. You know, if we look down the stretch for Josh Allen against some teams, then there was a thought that maybe teams were saying, you know what, dude, we're not going to blitz you as much anymore. We're just going to drop guys back, and we're going to make sure that you have to work from the pocket. Did you see that down the stretch, and do you think that's something he's going to see more frequently this year?
Potentially. I think what the Bills did last year, though, is they realized that they didn't have any counter punches. Like they were leaning on the fact of what they were. They had Stephon Diggs. You know, Gabe Davis was working mostly as a deep target. The run game wasn't great, and then they didn't have any of those little bit of background noise here at MetLife Stadium. They're actually asking people to leave the stadium right now because of the weather conditions here before the start of this game. So I'm going to move to a different location. But I think Dalton Kincaid is sneaky, a really important addition to consider when you think about the options at Ken Dorsey's disposal. If he can kind of, you know, open up that intermediate area, that middle part of the field, that's something that Cole Beasley did for them a couple of years ago. And they've missed that. And they're hoping that he kind of unlocks that. They hope that they can run it better with Harris and Latavius Murray. And if Ken Dorsey has more tools, more weapons, and Josh Allen has those as well, they're hoping that that means this is a more effective, harder to game plan against offense.
Matt, the offseason drama surrounding the Bills, I'm just assuming it's tough when you have a long offseason, you lose a game like that against Cincinnati. And so many times there's just stories that are kind of created because there's not much to talk about May, June, July. But any of this that could have a lingering effect going into the season with Diggs, with Josh Allen, or anyone else on this roster?
You know, I probably would have said potentially a couple weeks ago. But after watching them pretty closely over the course of the summer, you know, training camp, they go away to St. John Fisher. And that usually brings the team pretty close back together. And it seems like at least they're saying all the right things. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs are on the same page. And listen, I don't know why they wouldn't be. I mean, this is a combo. I get they haven't won the Super Bowl. They haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. But if you want to talk about quarterback wide receiver combos, the best of the last three or four seasons, you probably start or at least close to the top with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. So he knows that he has a chance to have a special season every time that he lines up with Josh Allen. And so I think that is kind of allowed cooler heads to prevail. But listen, they want to be more successful. He wants to be more, I don't want to say more involved. He's targeted plenty in this offense, but I think he wants to be, he wants his offense to feel like it's in sync and more efficient, more consistently. And so I think that's what the offseason stuff was about. And seems like everybody's locked in. They're ready to go. And we'll find out some answers here early tonight.
Last year, and Matt Perino's with us, of course, covers the Buffalo Bills. Last year, 23rd in EPA per play with their running game. What's the change in this rushing offense? Does it need to be changed? And what were some of the issues?
Yeah, I think, first of all, they had, Devin Singletary was their featured back. And he's a nice player. I mean, he has some really he's elusive, but in between the tackles, I never thought that they were physical enough. And when you go with James Cook as your number one, you need to find somewhere else to go for those tough yards and, maybe even in the red zone. James Cook's going to be heavily involved in their passing game. They really like him catching the ball out of the backfield. So when you bring in a guy like Damon Harris, and maybe even more so Latavius Murray, who's been between the tackles and in the red zone, one of the best running backs consistently over the past decade, they're hoping to lean on that. And I was actually really surprised. Like Murray, at his age, at 33, I didn't know how much the Bills were going to get out of that player, but he has looked as young as anybody in that running back room this summer, and they're hoping that consistently they can be physical. And then the addition of Dalton Kincaid really could put pressure on defenses and defensive coordinators, because if you're lining up 12 personnel as much as they're hoping to, you're probably going to be able to run a little bit more, and the threat of the passing game with Knox and Kincaid out there, both two pass catchers that defenses have to account for, you probably can run out of those sets a lot easier.
Matt, what would constitute during the regular season a success for this Buffalo Bills team, considering where they've been the last couple of years?
I mean, listen, I think we get in this habit of saying Super Bowl or bust, but yeah. I really truly think that after, it's been building to this, right? You've had your nightmare season ending, heartbreaking disappointments, and now you have to kind of reach that next level. And, an AFC title game, I mean, getting back there would be a start. But I think this group, with Sean McDermott at the helm now, this is his seventh season in Buffalo, and Allen's sixth season, this will be his fourth with Allen. You want to see that cash in, and Von Miller's not getting any younger. Some of the pieces, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, not getting any younger. That franchise center, Mitch Morse, had some concussion issues over the course of his career. You never know. What the next one could be the last one before a player has to kind of hang it up. So I think that there's a little bit of sense of urgency from personnel perspective, that there's a lot of players. This roster could look a lot different next year. So when that's the case, you want to have that urgency and try to win now.
Syracuse.com, where you can find Matt's work, host of Shout Podcast as well. So what do you expect to happen tonight between the Bills and the Jets?
I think it's going to be a really close game. I think there's going to be probably a little bit more offense than people are expecting. I think going on the safe side and going 27-20 Bills, but I do think both teams are going to be able to move the ball depending on the weather, as long as that holds up. And I think both passing games could have some success at times. And I think the Bills, I'm really interested to see what kind of wrinkles Ken Dorsey kind of throws out there. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit more pre-snap stuff. The Bills didn't do a ton of that last year, and Brian Daboll was famous for that during his tenure in Buffalo. So if they get back to a little bit of that, maybe a little Deontay Hardy jet sweep action, that wouldn't surprise me. But I think it's going to be a close game, but a fun game.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this. We hear the robotic voice. What's the weather? Can you play weatherman? What exactly is going on?
Man, it looks like a storm is a brewing. Okay. And I think we all watched the Sunday night game last night at the same stadium, and it was pouring. And I think that the rain is coming in. It's 5:10 right now. I think most people are hoping that it clears by the time the game starts. I got a TV hit at about 7 o'clock, so if we could have it wrap up by then. That would be great.
Yeah, well, you have great hair, too, so the rain will ruin that, too. Matt, appreciate some time, man. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Take care.
You got Thank it. You. Again, Matt Parrino, Syracuse.com, where you can go for the work. Ooh, okay, a little bit of rain. Now, here's the thing. People freak out, as we say a lot. Precipitation doesn't really matter too much. It's all about the wind.
I mean, the rain was an excuse for the Giants last night, but the Cowboys found ways to score in it, so.
I mean, here's the big difference. I'm going to go down a limb. Daniel Jones sucks.
Don't say that.
Don't hurt yourself standing on that ledge.
It's not a limb. It's a very firm and steady ledge.
So I don't think it's that, but I don't think he's very good either. And last night, he you was running for his life. Evan Neal might be the worst right tackle in the league.
Don't say that. I just, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't say sucks. It's not very nice. These guys are humans. He's just not a very good NFL quarterback.
But I can tell you this. He's a bottom-tier guy now for me. He's a bottom-tier guy. I thought he might have been he could have worked himself into the middle. He's worked himself so far back, he's like bottom eight in the league.
Just a quick update weather-wise. We're 3 hours from kickoff at the MetLife Stadium. Rain is expected in the next 15 minutes to last about 45 minutes and then clear the rest of the night.
You got wind speeds?
I will have that for you on the other
all
side.
Right. There was a cool little lightning thing that just flashed across the mall screen. It looked nice. All right, we'll take a break. You come back here on Sharp Money.